Sometimes in these songs, it's good also where it's like, lead me, lead us. You know, you just bring us all in as we are praying for one another and for his body in our nation, our nations. Okay, I think all up and running. Father, your kingdom is here within us. Your kingdom is amongst us. And we are seated with you in Christ Jesus in the heavenly realms. And we want to thank you that by your Holy Spirit you will share with us that which the natural mind cannot really comprehend. But by your Spirit, as you communicate with our spirit, as you communicate to our whole being, so that we can hear what you're wanting to share. And Jesus, what a joy is that you've got a word, you want to share something to us this morning, and by your Holy Spirit you communicate to us. So what is your message? What do you want to communicate to us? And we thank you for the ability by your Holy Spirit and because of this incredible grace upon our lives that we are able to hear and respond. So we thank you for today. We thank you for the way you're leading us. We thank you that we can share life with you, Father. We can share life with you, Jesus, and with you, Holy Spirit. Thank you that we can share life with one another and we can truly have fellowship with one another because we are in the light. What a joy to know that as we are seated here, we are seated in light. Because you are light and we are in you. So we want to thank you as we become very conscious of being in light and the power of your light, the power of the blood of Jesus, in the way that you cleanse, the way that you set us apart, the way you do things in our lives. We are very privileged to have your involvement in helping us to truly live in the truth, living in the reality of being your children. So we thank you, Father, for fathering us and loving us so much. And this, we know this such a reality because of Jesus, who has brought us to you, and the ministry of Holy Spirit here with us. And we thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. I think just to sort of get us where we are in the context of the John 17 prayer that we've been praying for and praying using as a prayer guide, I want to just quickly go to John 17. And there's quite a few scriptures that we need to have a look at this morning. Jesus, when he's praying for the believers, for his disciples, and he's praying for us who would become his disciples, He's praying, and this is what he prays. And then let me just read here in verse 11. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. And remember when we looked at the word holiness, and holy, God is holy. He is other than creation. He's above creation, and we are holy people. So he's speaking about the world, but now we have a God who is above the world, who created the world. And so, as I shared last Sunday, God is a standard. So when we look at holiness, when we look at love, we look at what authority, whatever it may be, God is always the standard. He doesn't look at us to say, well, let me look at mankind, let me measure myself up against mankind to see how I'm doing. Okay, it's not like that. He is holy, and we, well, the Spirit reveals to us God, and then he guides us into living in that truth that he is sharing about the holiness of God. But he says over here, I have given them to you, and the word and the world has hated them. might be in that position where the world hates you. For they are not of the world. Why? Because we are saints. We are not of this world. Okay? We're in the reality of being in Christ. So we are not of this world. That's why He calls us saints. He calls us holy. And that's a mind shift that I think it's so important for us to renew our mind, to know, listen, I'm not of this world. I'm in the kingdom of God. And I've got to think differently. I've got to think now, seek first the kingdom, because I'm living in the reality of the kingdom of God, and I've got to get an understanding and revelation of that. So that's when people get born again, they need to know. They're not of this world anymore. They're in a kingdom. They belong to God now. And so it's a good starting point. Otherwise, they're always going to be trying to live their lives from a wrong mindset. And they're going to be very frustrated trying to measure up their lives by the standards of this world. And there'll be a conflict within them, because that's not who we are as children of God. So we've got to understand that we live in this world, but we're not of this world. We are in a kingdom. And then Jesus carries on and he said, but I'm coming to you, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of this world any more than I am of this world. Remember, we're in Christ. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Can you see the agreement we need to renew our mind to? Then he says, sanctify them. Set them apart by the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I have set myself apart, that they too may be truly set apart, holy. So this is where we are right now, when we are looking at what Jesus is busy doing with us. We know that we answer to his prayer. So the Holy Spirit is working in our lives. He's making us very aware. And this is why, how does God set us apart with his truth? And this is why receiving revelational truth is so crucial, because this is the way Jesus is busy getting us, washing us, cleansing us. He washes us with the water of his word. And so he is busy saying to the Father, Father, set them apart with this truth of ours. Because the world has a truth, but they're not of this world. They're going to measure themselves against the standard of this world. But they're not of this world, just as I am not of this world. See, the way, can you put your mind into the way Jesus, as he's walking on this earth, he has never, never, never placed himself under the truth of this world. He's above. See, his truth is, his Father is his truth. And he's saying, guys, as believers, as set apart believers, as a holy nation, as a royal priesthood, you're not part of this world. You've been set apart. You're in me. The resurrection, my resurrection, tells you something, that you died to who you were as citizens of this world, ground bound. My resurrection tells you that you've been taken out of the dominion of darkness. You're in this kingdom of light. We've been set apart. We're in this kingdom of light, purity, holiness, no darkness. That's where we are. But we need the Holy Spirit to give truth to enable us to be able to get revelation of this, so we can renew our mind. And this is where we get back to holiness and repentance, because as the Holy Spirit shows to us that, listen, what we're doing is so conditioned by this world, and our minds are set to this world, and our behavior is set and controlled by this world, but that's not you. The Holy Spirit of truth comes, and he shares with us truth, and we realize, wow, But I've been set apart. I have a desire. I have a desire to live in this light. I have a desire to live as a child of God. And as the Spirit of God gives truth, now we repent. We change the way we think about our lives, our situations. We change the way we behave. So now we have our heart set on the things above. We have our mind set on the things above. Now we're moving into what Jesus taught us. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Not seeking first the pattern of this world. We've been taken out of that. We're now in the kingdom. So now we think differently. We're seeking the ways of Jesus. We're now coming to the place where the Holy Spirit, who knows the very deep things of the Father, and Jesus wants to share with us these things, and the Holy Spirit communicates us a spiritual truth that we can live set apart people, not belonging to this world. And this will bring persecution, obviously, because the world will hate us, because light exposes darkness, and darkness will not like to be exposed. So they will do anything to try and get us out of the way. But we've got to start to believe in the power and the authority of Jesus regards to His kingdom. And that's what we want to really get established in this as we continue this morning. So we see here that this is where we are. As you sent me into the world, Jesus has sent us into the world. He set Himself apart that we too may be truly sanctified. So our holiness is only found by being in Christ Jesus. He is our holiness. That's why we are declared holy. Okay? And as we looked at last week, we are declared holy. We who are becoming holy. So that's the journey of what we, in church terminology, they will use sanctification, being sanctified. So truth plays a big role. The Spirit of truth will guide us, lead us, and we've been singing now, lead us by the Holy Spirit. Lead us into truth. Okay? Every time the Holy Spirit speaks, you know that's part of being moving into a greater depth of being set apart. We're thinking differently now according to the truth. We're renewing our mind to the truth. And this is why I believe, we had discussion during the week, just speaking to folk that are, who have been grown up in a very religious environment, and where the word is very intellectual, there's no life kind of thing. And this is why this is so important in understanding how this works, because if the word is just an intellectual belief system, then there's no inner transformation taking place. It's all, now what must I do to make myself holy? What discipline, what obedience thing must I do to make myself holy? But in the kingdom, it doesn't work like that. In the kingdom, the Holy Spirit shares truth concerning Jesus, and as we receive truth, remember, truth sets us free. See, as we take hold of the truth, it does everything within us. It's alive, it's active, and the Word of God works, and it's not just an intellectual experience, it's relational. Truth is relational. Jesus is truth. And this is the fundamental difference that between the intellectual kind of religious understanding and living in the reality of revelation, of intimacy, of living with truth, of sharing life together with truth. It's a big difference. And we are being called, Holy Spirit is helping us all to really understand what it is to share our life together with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's a living relationship, and to be able to share life together. That's what it means to have fellowship with God, who is holy. And because in Christ we are holy, we are now able to share life with Him, as we spoke about last Sunday. So in Daniel, let's quickly go to Daniel chapter 7. In Daniel chapter 7, Daniel has a dream, and in this dream we see all what he dreamed about, But then when you come here to verse 14, and in my vision, or a vision, at night I looked, and there before me was one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He appeared, he approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, he was given glory and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. So here we have this vision that Daniel has concerning Jesus, the Son of Man. And this is why you will find that Jesus, most of the times in the Gospels, he would refer to himself as the Son of Man, because he's telling everybody, I am the one that Daniel prophesied about. I am fulfilling the prophecy over here. So here we have Jesus approaching the Father, and the Father has given Jesus, very important, authority, glory, sovereign power, and all peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. We're speaking about his kingdom reality now, that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. So we have something incredible over here, because remember when Jesus has just been baptized, and he's now being tested in the wilderness, and he comes out and he starts to preach. What's the very first thing Jesus starts to communicate? He starts to say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Nobody ever preached that before. But Jesus is saying, guys, Daniel prophesied about me. The Son of Man has now come into this world, and now Jesus is bringing in the reality of the kingdom. That's important. And this is why it is so crucial for us to be established in faith. So today, that our Heavenly Father will fully persuade us all in the reality of this incredible, powerful, everlasting kingdom of God. We're going to need to be established in this, because when we look, it's so easy to look with these natural eyes. It's so easy to feel with the natural senses, to be able to see all of this and feel all of that and say, wow, there's no hope. Or look at the wickedness, and we can become so despondent and hopeless, and we forget that we've been set apart. You see, easy to forget that we're holy. Jesus said, as he is not of this world, so are we not of this world. He has overcome this world. So the kingdom reality for us as a church, as a body of Christ, redeemed by his blood, he has made us into a kingdom and priest for us to be able to renew our mind. And that's why when we start, I'm in the kingdom of God. Start thinking, start accepting, start getting into agreement. This is, as a child of God, we're in an incredible kingdom. And this kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. It's all powerful. The way we need to start thinking. If we don't, there's no faith. There's unbelief. And we're going to do an exercise now as we appropriate and apply this over here. So we see this incredible reality. Now in, let's quickly go to Ephesians 5 again. In Ephesians 5, we read this. Remember the Father had given Jesus the kingdom in Daniel 7. So in Ephesians 5, let me just quickly, now let's come back to that Ephesians 5 now. Let's quickly go to 1 Corinthians 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul is speaking about the resurrection body, the resurrection of the dead. And we read over there, I'm going to read from verse 49, "And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven, Jesus." Sorry, that's a wrong verse over there. It's verse 24. "And for just as Adam, for as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each of us in his own turn. Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him." Now look at verse 24. Remember, it was the Father who had given the Son of Man the kingdom. Look what takes place now. Remember we looked at last time where Jesus himself is washing us with his word. He's busy preparing us. He's busy so that he can present us to himself. That's Ephesians 5. So Jesus is working in our lives, set us apart by his word, his truth. He's communicating truth by the Spirit. And as we are appropriating that, we are finding ourselves being more and more becoming like him, etc. So he's now going to get to a place where he presents us to himself. And then look what takes place. Then the end will come. This is Jesus. When Jesus hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Then he has put everything under his feet. So we see there that a time is coming where, as Jesus is working with us, that he will then get to the place, present us to himself, and then, just as Daniel 7, the Father gave him, then Jesus once again comes and he presents and gives back to the Father the kingdom. So that the Father is above all and everything. So that's what's happening. That's the reality of our lives. That's the reality of the family of God worldwide. This is what's taking place by the Holy Spirit's ministry all over the world in bringing what has been prophesied into fulfillment. Okay, so let's not resist, let's not fight. God is watching over his word and he's doing what he said he will be doing. And it's easier just to yield to him and to follow what he's busy doing. So we see that. Now, I believe what one of the things that God is busy doing is really helping us to get excited about the beauty of holiness. Because as we spoke last Sunday, the gospel is good news. And very often when you speak about holiness, that's not good news for many people. And it's like, what's good news about that? You know, that's just a burden. That's just, I can't do this, I can't do that. That's just limitations and all that kind of stuff. Because that's the religious mindset and the understanding of holiness from all various religions. You always find that that's the reality of holiness. So we're looking at the good news of holiness, the beauty of holiness. It's something beautiful that sets us free. And so that we can live, and as I shared, we can share life with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and with one another. And here we see in 1 John chapter 2, and then chapter 3, "Now dear children, continue in him," this is being in Christ Jesus, so that, this is part of the reason, "when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming." Because remember, he's going to be presenting us to himself unblemished. If we remain in him. "If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of God. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, And that is what we are. The reason we would, the world does not know us, remember, because we're holy, we're set apart, is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. So here, once again, you see that as we look into the second coming of Jesus, as we look at what He has done and our future, this incredible future that we're going to be having once we leave this planet Earth, that we can only just begin to imagine, far more than what we can even comprehend, this incredible future that awaits us, what will take place? We will find ourselves purifying ourselves. Interesting. So we will be finding that we will be people that will be living in the reality of what it is to be set apart from darkness. We will be living in the reality that we have been taken out, we've been rescued out of the dominion of darkness, and we have been settled in the kingdom of light. And we will be pursuing this. We will be seeking first the kingdom and His righteousness. But how do we pursue holiness? How do we seek it? How do we purify ourselves? And this is the difference between, again, religion and this incredible work of being in Christ. You see, if we remain in Him, continue to remain in Him all the time, and then how does this work? Well, He says over here, everyone who sins breaks the law. Okay, because sin is rebelliousness, it's lawlessness. But you know that Jesus, He appeared that He might take away our sins. That's important in understanding purification. Because the old covenant could only cover. New covenant, Christ has taken away our sins. Mindset, faith, believing what the powerful blood of Jesus has done, what the sacrifice is Jesus has done. So how do we purify ourselves? Well, let's get into agreement with truth once and for all. Holiness, how God's going to deal with me? The fact is, once and for all, Lord, You've taken away my sin. I've got to start thinking differently now about holiness. I've got to see what You've done so I can get in agreement with what You have done and start to experience the victory of this truth in my own life. Oh, we are privileged people being born again and being in Christ Jesus. He is our life. Okay, so we now, that's why the repentance and walking and this changing the way we think, etc. And then He carries on and He says, but you know that He appeared so that He might take away our sins. And in Him is no sin, because He is holy, God is light. Where do we live? No one who lives in Him, where do we live? You see, we live in light. Renew our mind to truth, we live in light. What takes place within us? The Holy Spirit appropriates the truth that we are living in light. We will not want to sin. Not at all. Because we've renewed, we realize we are in Him. He is holy, He is pure. And I can guarantee you, the more we grow in this, you will want to vomit when you even think of wanting to sin. It is such a foreign concept. You pull sin in your life. You're not wanting to, because you are living in His holiness. You're tasting it. You're experiencing His holiness, purity, the freedom in Christ Jesus, the victory in Christ Jesus. But when we do sin, praise God, there's the incredible blood of Jesus that continuously cleanses us. So we carry on. This is how are we purifying? I'm just showing you how God's way of us purifying ourselves. Dear children, and He carries on, in Him is no sin. No one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. It's just sinning as a habit. No one who continues to sin has either seen Him or known Him. And that's very, very real. Dear children, see, that's why I have seen Him. You can, Unless you are born by the Spirit of God, you cannot see the kingdom and you cannot enter the kingdom. By the Holy Spirit, Him alone, it enables us to be able to know how real God the Father is, to enable us to know the light, the holiness of God, the purity of God, by the Holy Spirit. Religion removes the Holy Spirit's ministry, whatever religion it may be. Now he carries on and he says, "Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous." You'll get there. "Just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning, has been rebelling, has been in rebelliousness towards God from the very beginning. The reason the Son of God," now we have the Son of God now, "appeared was to destroy the devil's work." How do we purify ourselves? Accepting the fact, Jesus, you've destroyed the devil's work. What was the devil's work? Rebellions towards you. In me, you've destroyed that rebellious nature towards you. Oh, Lord, thank you. It's again, it's renewing the mind. And you'll find there that by the Spirit, we have the desires and we have the free will to choose. Because the power of sin is no longer our reality. And then he carries on, "No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed," interesting the word seed, because it's the word sperm, that God's very, if you use modern science, DNA, God's very nature, by the Spirit of God, remains in us. Therefore, we cannot go on sinning because we have been born, we've been fathered by God Himself. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. So, here we see an amazing truth of how we look into our future and we see the time is coming when our Lord returns, He's going to present us to Himself, and together we're going to be presented to our Heavenly Father, blameless, spotless, pure bride of Christ. And because we've got a glimpse of what we will be like, we don't yet know, but when He returns, wow, we will begin to, wow, this is really, and we're going to enter into the fullness of what it is to be a child of God, what it is to be in Christ Jesus. And as we see that, and we're no longer focusing on this world and what our future is going to be, look like, and what I'm going to be, how am I going to look in 20 years' time with all my wrinkles, etc., etc., what's the sagging going to look like, etc., etc., all of that stuff, we're looking at an incredible future of what we're going to look like, what we're going to be like. Totally different. Because we are children of God. We've got a whole different viewpoint, a whole different mindset as we look forward into our future. I don't know about you, but we've got an exciting future ahead of us. See? And then we start to realize that, Lord, this is what you've done. This is how we purify ourselves. We start to just, by your truth, you sanctify us by truth. You set us apart by your truth. This is the truth. You are truth. This is what you have done. And now I begin to renew my mind. I receive that. But I'm praying today that because the faith is fully persuaded, you actually believe this. It's in you that, wow, Lord, you have made me righteous. Because I'm in you, I'm holy. Because I'm in you, Jesus, you have destroyed the works of the enemy of rebelliousness. So therefore, I'm able to follow your ways. I'm able to live the resurrection life so that I can live a new life as a kingdom of priests to serve our living God. 101 discipling. This is what we need to hear so that we can help and disciple many, many people. that can go beyond being born again and to be able to live as children of light. To go beyond salvation and to live in the reality of the kingdom of God. So we need to hear these things and we need to understand what God is saying to us. So a question this morning is that do we believe, are we fully persuaded that this kingdom of Jesus, the rule of Jesus, the presence of Jesus, the way of Jesus, this kingdom that is this everlasting kingdom, this kingdom that is more powerful than any other kingdom, that the kingdom of darkness that operates so powerfully, that we're in a kingdom that's even more powerful than the kingdom of darkness. Do we believe this? Are we fully persuaded? What's our word say? What's our thoughts say? And the Holy Spirit wants us to be fully persuaded that we're in this kingdom that we see in Daniel 7 that has been prophesied. Jesus says, here it is. And we see there that Jesus has been given the name above every other name, that we sang the name of Jesus. So when we sing and we speak the name of Jesus, we also speak in the reality of His kingdom becoming so tangible and real here in our communities and families, etc. So now as we begin to get this established, and this kingdom, we'll be in this kingdom, we're in this kingdom, we're in this kingdom, we've been born again by the Holy Spirit, we've now can see the evidence, we can see Your incredible rule, we can see Your ways, we can see Your presence, we can see these things. Also, we're experiencing the power of Your authority, not only in our own lives, because now we're seeing that fear is no longer our master, because You are life. Your kingdom is reigning in my life. We now not only fearing about the future, because that used to keep us down. Now, because in You, Lord Jesus, we're no longer slaves to the fear of the future. No. We're in a kingdom. You've made us, purchased us with Your blood. We are a royal priesthood, this kingdom of God, to rule here on earth. And as we looked previously, when God created mankind, He always created because He said, now through man, I will rule on this earth. Before came. Christ comes, brings in the kingdom. So once again, us being in Jesus, once again, our Heavenly Father is able to rule through the body of Christ. But if we are not confident that we're in this incredible kingdom of God that's far greater than the kingdom of darkness, we will be intimidated and we will become people that will just look and moan and groan and grumble. So the question is, let's dream. Let's dream together. Let's dream. What will 1947 look like? What will it be like? In the reality of light, of God's holiness. What will our community look like? What will the people, what will the families, what will everything look like where the residents of the towns, of the cities that we are staying in, what will it look like where holiness, light is the reality? Where the citizens have been taken out of the dominion of darkness and brought into this kingdom of light, into the kingdom of His Son, Jesus Christ, that He loves. What will our schools look like? What will the places that we work look like? Now ask yourself, what is your mind saying? It's impossible? All the excuses are coming up. You see, those excuses tell us we don't believe. Those excuses are saying we just like some of those 12 spies that went out to go and spy the land. God had promised. God says, my kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And we all go out, yeah, God, we all get excited. God, we're in this kingdom, it's powerful. And then we all go out to go and evangelize or to go into the workplace, into the schools, to go and allow Christ to live through our lives. And we see the giants, we see the problems, we see the wickedness, we see the depression, we see the drug abuse, we see the rape cases, we see all these things that are taking place. And we can come back and we put all these excuses, no, we can't. Can't, no, no, it's impossible for anything to change here. It cannot be done. And we come up with all the reasons and excuses. But there were two that believed. Let us be, all of us, let us be more than the two that believe that we're in a kingdom that is more powerful. And we are people that Christ will rule through us. See, it's a mind shift. It's thinking differently about what we see in the natural. It's now beginning to see differently the reality of we as His people in a kingdom that is more powerful than what we're seeing. And Jesus said to us, go into all the nations. Make disciples, because all the power, the authority has been given to Him, teaching them how to obey, to listen, how to respond to my teachings, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know what? I'm with you always to the very end. No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in us. So this is the most amazing time where the in the unfolding of the prayer that Jesus prays. He says, Father, they are not of this world as I am not of this world. Sanctify them with truth. Just as you sent me. You sent me to bring in the kingdom. So I have sent them to continue, that I, through them, can continue expanding my kingdom. My rule, setting people free from the dominion of darkness. So it's a good exercise to sit down and I'm having to do this because I have got many limitations in this brain of my mind. Got to be honest. And this is where the repentance comes in, changing the way we think. And the behavior that goes now with the new way of thinking. We're in a place, and for a long time now, that the Holy Spirit has been guiding us all in wanting a community, wanting the towns that we're staying in, for people to experience the real Jesus, the real Father, the real Holy Spirit. A lot's taken place this year in regards to demolishing the religious stronghold over people. And I'm not just talking about church religion. There's different religions that we're dealing with here. God has been dealing with that. And we are laborers, we are workers that He has prepared so that we can be involved, Christ in us, to communicate the truth and with the ministry of reconciliation, so that people can get born again, coming out of the dominion of darkness. And let's dream, what will 1947, or what would Vereeniging, or Van der Bijl, wherever town we're living in, what will this place look like when people are out of darkness and in the kingdom of light? What will the fruit of that be? So we go back to Ephesians 5, and then Paul writes there, now that we are children of light, let us live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So what will the fruit? It's fascinating in Romans 14, where Paul is speaking and he's saying to the people over there, listen, you guys, stop fighting about what I must eat or what I must not eat. See, the one that's got a weak conscience, they're eating to bring glory to God. Those who've got a strong conscience that doesn't worry whether it's been offered there, they're eating to bring glory to God. They both are doing it for the glory of God. Stop fighting. And he says, but the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. Not at all. And he carries on, it's a matter of incredible righteousness, joy, peace in the Holy Spirit. Amazing. And so we see these incredible truths of peace, of joy, of Holy Spirit, of righteousness. And in Romans chapter 5, where Paul starts to say that now that in Christ Jesus there's no condemnation because we have been justified. Therefore we have peace. And we have joy. Romans 5, 1 to 5. And so a question that I'm asking and looking at in what this kingdom looks like, because it's not only referring to the position in Christ Jesus, but he's referring here in Romans 14 to the fruit of being declared righteous, living in peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. He's declaring a life in the Holy Spirit. He's speaking about the reality that by the Spirit you will not gratify the desires of the old sinful nature, but by the Spirit you'll be able to see the fruit of the Spirit. So what will 1947, what will Vereeniging, what will the towns and the cities look like with the fruit of righteousness, with the fruit of peace, with the fruit of joy? What would it look like? Let's dream. Let's get rid of the limitations in our mind. Let's get rid of the limitations of our speech. And let's start speaking. Let's start talking. Let's start to realize, but we're in this incredible kingdom. Nothing's impossible with God. Jesus said that my kingdom will advance. Jesus has spoken. Let's get into agreement with him. So, the army of the Lord. Welcome into the kingdom army of Jesus Christ. Imagine at school, where the Christian teachers at school, because this is often a case, what are we going to do? Look at the... No, no, no. Imagine if the Christian teachers at school come together and just realize, but the kingdom, there's darkness. We see the kingdom of darkness. But let's come together and believe the kingdom of light. We're in the kingdom of light. God, and you said your kingdom will advance by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's start to pray. Let's start to get into agreement. Let's start to seek the kingdom advancing in the schools and not complain and say, oh, look at the hopelessness. Guys, we've got a job to do. See? We've got to realize we're in the kingdom of God and not in the kingdom of darkness. We've got to start to believe that and start to live it out. That's where we are. So we're very grateful for Jesus' prayers and what he's busy doing. Very grateful for the Holy Spirit in helping us to really begin to understand we're in a kingdom, kingdom age, kingdom of God. Very grateful for the incredible miracle of being taken out of the kingdom of darkness. We're in the kingdom of light. Very grateful. So it'll be good to realize that your light is in me. And I'm in your light. Just those thoughts. It'll be good when you go to school or when you go to work or into town. It'll be good for us to be able to realize what? Light is in this place. Light exposes darkness. Come, believers, let's start to unite in the workplace. Let's start to unite. Some of you guys need to take leadership in the workplace and bringing believers together and saying, come, let's start. Let's start. Let's get what we know that light is here, the kingdom of God is here because we're here. We know that Christ is here because we are here as believers. Now, Lord Jesus, share with us your strategy, share with us the way forward. You start to unite, to start to have faith and to believe. Amen. So, Father, thank you that you have, I like that word, you have rescued us. We needed your help. We could not get out of that prison, out of that darkness. You came through Jesus and you paid the price with the blood and you took us out of this darkness. Through your Son. Father, and you brought us into this most incredible kingdom of light. Purity, holiness, freedom from darkness. Lord, the very air we breathe is the air of light. This light, it's an incredible reality of how it removes the darkness from our mind, our thoughts. It's so beautiful to be able to use our brain in light. So beautiful to be able to just use our bodies in light. And just find as we are living in light, every part of our being is so touched, so in one way or the other, we just start to find freedom after freedom after freedom. What a joy, what a place to be. So we thank you for the miracle through Jesus as we eat together, we drink together, celebrating the powerful, the blood of Jesus and his sacrifice, but also his resurrection. Because in you, Lord, we can live this incredible new life. It's because of your resurrection we were taken out of darkness and brought into your kingdom. And we want to thank you for that. So as we partake this morning, I'm asking by your Spirit that the power and the reality of resurrection life will hit us. You'll just explode that within us. So that all the time we'll be able to know that we are no longer in the darkness, we're in the light. How do we live? So we thank you as you guide us, as you sanctify us with truth, Father. We want to thank you, Jesus, as you wash us with your word. What a privilege, what a joy. We want to thank you, Holy Spirit, as we share life together, we find there this incredible reality that we partake in this incredible divine nature of God in the most incredible, miraculous way. It's beyond our understanding, but we experience it and we find the freedom. So we thank you for this incredible journey of us becoming more and more pure as we begin to live out the reality of what it is that we are already holy in your Son, Jesus Christ, Father. So we thank you for this morning. Amen. Amen.